Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Many of you are probably aware or were aware that prior to moving here to the Valley, I managed a funeral home and crematorium back in Calgary. But what some of you may not be aware of is that this particular funeral home, and you might not know that a funeral home can cater to specific people, but it can, and this one catered primarily to Sikh and Hindu communities. Now, their funerals were always extremely fascinating. Both of these religions, both Sikh and Hindu, have very specific customs and rituals that they must abide by when they are doing a funeral. So what fascinated me more than the ceremony itself was the sense of community that I always saw when these people would come in. So when somebody in the community would pass away, they were all very involved. And I'm not talking one or two people coming. I'm talking the entire community is coming. So, I mean, once the individual passed away, somebody would call in. And I never knew who was calling me or who was going to be coming in for the arrangements. Because whenever you take that first call, you have to find out, okay, who is this person that's coming? What is your relationship to the deceased? And there's a whole plethora of questions that you have to ask. So just like here in Canada, that when somebody calls in, it can be a friend, it can be a family member, it could be anybody. What I quickly realized is that if a person called in and says, oh yes, that's my brother, oh that's my auntie, that's my uncle, that didn't mean blood. That blood had no part necessarily in some of these communities. So this is where it can get really tricky. Because when making the arrangements, as a funeral director, you have certain policies that you have to abide by that are legal in the province in which you work. There's a bit of a pecking order because the next of kin is the individual who has to sign off. So it starts if the person is married with the spouse, and then from there it goes to the children, and then to the parents, and then the grandparents, and there's a whole pecking order that comes down. So naturally, if the individual is married, it would be the spouse that would sign off on everything. The challenge that we faced here in Canada is that, especially in this funeral home, many of these couples, when they would come in and somebody would pass away, they didn't really speak English all that well. So there's a whole series of things that you have to try and explain to an individual, especially if their choice is for cremation. So as you can imagine, this is something that would be extremely difficult because it's not a topic that everybody talks about, right? How many of you go home and, you know, regularly at night you talk about cremations and funerals and all that sort of stuff? Yeah, just in our home. Yeah, my kids are so used to it. But think about this for a moment. Many people don't understand the process of cremation here in Canada. So now try and explain the rules and the regulations to someone who doesn't fully understand English or even able to speak the language. What's even harder is trying to communicate this to an individual, and then that individual has to kind of translate it in their head and effectively communicate it to somebody else in their native tongue. Sometimes I would sit there and I would ramble off a whole couple of sentences, and then this person would say what appeared to be like two or three words, and then the person would say yes. And I'm thinking to myself, I just gave you a whole paragraph, and you translated that into two words? I think sometimes they would just say to the person in their language, just agree with whatever I say. Uh-huh, okay. So that's basically sometimes how it worked. But when the family would arrive, we would often have about 20 people come in to make these arrangements. Has anybody ever had to make funeral arrangements? Can you imagine walking into that room with 20 people and being subjected to all of their opinions? Doesn't that sound like a joyous event? You know, because there's going to always be that person in the room that says, well, at my mom's funeral, this is what we did. Oh, and when my cousin's uncle's daughter passed away, this is what we did. So as I tried to get acquainted with everyone, I would learn that this community consisted of both friends and family and various community members. So the entire funeral process is a community event. The community was there for the passing. The community would come in for the arrangements. The community would be there when there was the bathing ceremony, which is a part of the ritual. The community would be there because they'd have two viewings. It was a busy week. Again, every single event, the community would come. And then so you'd have the service and the entire community would come. So you'd have approximately anywhere from 400 to 700 people showing up for this event. So if you've ever seen people from these people groups, you will notice that they are often found in community. Even here in the Comox Valley, I'll be driving down the street and I will notice that if I see some Sikhs, I will always be able to spot them because they're all in community. They're all with other people from their community. They support each other. I always find it interesting that in my home of however big it is, a couple thousand square feet, that you know it's the perfect size for the four of us. And when we have family come, we'll have an extra couple people. And after a couple of days, that 2,000 square feet seems to get really cozy. Some of these people have 10, 15, 20 people living under that roof. Can you imagine that? No. My mom has a philosophy. She says, friends and family are like fish. After 3 days, they all begin to stink. So, meanwhile, they've got this whole community living together. They ate together. They went to temple together. They served together. Many of them worked together. There's a lot to be learned from these people groups when it comes to community. So as you've probably picked up, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about discipleship. This week, we're going to be talking about community and next week. So if you're familiar, so this week we're talking about living in community. Next week we're going to be talking about life in community. If you're familiar with David Letterman, he often had his top 10 list. So this morning I have a top 10 list when it comes to community and what we can look for when living in community. So to understand community from a scriptural perspective, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start reading at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm reading it from English Standard Version. It's going to be on the screen above. But before that, we want to say, Father, thank you that you are here with us. I pray that as we read from your word, that our hearts and our eyes would be open to hear your voice this morning. This is the very word of God speaking into our hearts. So, Father, I pray that you would take this. Holy Spirit, illuminate this in our hearts to hear what you are speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 2:42, it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being served. How many of you have experience with moving? Most of us do. Up until last summer, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with moving. In the last 6 months, I've had enough to last me a lifetime. So just as a quick update, our family has just moved yet again. We are now into our third different home since we moved here to the Comox Valley 6 months ago. Some of you came to our home just before Christmas over on Panorama. Well, if you ever get the urge to come and visit us, we no longer live on Panorama. We're no longer in Courtney. We are officially Comox residents as of this past Tuesday. So we're within walking distance of the church, which we're all quite excited about. It's almost like having a parsonage, but not being on the grounds of the church. We have shifted our stuff 4 times in the last 6 months. I thought it was time for another Newfie teaching. So if you are living in Newfoundland and you're driving down the street and you see a truck going down the street and it's loaded with all sorts of furniture, you'd look at whoever you're with and you'd look at each other and you just simply say, "Dem shiffin." That's exactly what you say, "Dem shiffin." D-E-M-S, shiffin. All right? So what that means is they are shifting. They are moving from one location to another. So you can just say, "Dem shiffin." And the other thing that I was excited because I taught you this terminology back in the fall is that this house comes with a clothesline. I know it sounds really weird, but we're really excited about this. So now I can practice, you know, when it's a sunny day. Do you remember what the statement was? Someday for clothes. That's what we would always say, someday for clothes. So now if you see it's someday for clothes, drive by our house, you'll probably see stuff out on the line. Anyway, when looking for a home, the common thing that we will consider is the community around the home. So what are some key components to look for when building and establishing community? The passage that we just read provides us what I believe 10 things. So I'm going to fly through them, so don't think that you're here all day. There's going to be 10 things that we're going to look at. So the first thing to consider when looking for a community is the health of the home. The health of the home. Receiving a positive report from a doctor gives you that sense of, doesn't it? We are able to relax. Things are healthy. You go, the doctor sends you for some blood work, and then you get the call, and he says, everything is great. It gives you that sense of awe. Have you ever had that experience when you've walked into a home? You've walked in, and it's like, this is the one. As Kyla and I stood in this house on Tuesday night, boxes everywhere, furniture needing to be put in its place, we looked at each other, and we said, this, we had such a peace in our hearts about this home. This was the place that was waiting for us. There were a lot of things that had to come together, but we see that God was working all things out for our good. There is a healthy atmosphere in this home. And I've even joked with some people, even the dog is relaxed in this home. For the last couple, he's been kind of out of sorts, but this one, he walked in and he was quite relaxed. So I don't know if that speaks to anything or not. I'm not a big dog person, but hey. But what does a healthy atmosphere look like from the perspective of this passage? To me, my understanding is that it's a place where there is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. As I shared last weekend, our relationship with Jesus also means a relationship with Holy Spirit. In your relationships, do you set aside a certain time of the week to connect with a person? Do you only set aside a certain time? Think about how healthy your marriage or your relationship with your children would be if they came to you wanting to talk to you about something. You're like, oh, you know what? I've got my days slotted out. You have Saturday mornings from 9 till 10 where we can sit down and talk about the things that are going on in your life. Can you imagine the wife that comes to you and you look at them and say, sorry, honey, we only got 1 hour of a week. How healthy would that relationship be? The same is true in our relationship with God. When Holy Spirit is speaking something into our hearts and we said, oh, wait, God, you know that our time together is Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock till 11:15. That's when you have to show up and speak everything to me. So I know that you're speaking, I can hear you, but we can't deal with that right now. We have to wait until Sunday morning. Is there fellowship with Jesus? Do we only talk to Jesus when there's a crisis? Jesus is a part of our daily lives. Sometimes, for most of us, we are the only Jesus that other people will see. So the question is how is he being demonstrated through you? Are you listening to him every second, every hour of the day? So is your community, is your home a healthy place? Do you have health in your home? So the way that I'm looking at this in regards to community and your home, your life group is kind of like your house. That is your healthy place. So the second item to consider is the neighborhood. So you live in a healthy home. What is the health of the neighborhood? Before I moved to the home on Panorama, I Googled the address to see if anything would come up. So I typed in the 398 Panorama Crescent. Well, that address never came up, but there was a certain house that kept popping up, and there was like a whole list of things that happened in this house. Now, this wasn't the house that we were moving into, but it was just a few blocks down. And as we know, the media doesn't advertise when there's something warm and fuzzy going on in the house, so you can imagine, this house had a lot of things going on. The cops had been called to it many times. The people had been evicted. Basically, from what I've learned, it was a drug house, and this was literally just a couple of doors down from us. We weren't moving into that home, but we were moving into that neighborhood. What activities are taking place in the community neighborhood? So you have your home, what's happening around you? In the community that we just read about, they came together to pray together. they were able to share with the people in their community what is going on in their lives. This is what we see here in Acts 2. They were able to support one another. They were able to pray for one another. In this community, they took the time to participate in communion together. They set aside time every time they got together to remember what Christ had done for them. For me, I believe that this speaks to the health of the neighborhood. As a life group, have you ever considered doing this? Each time you come together, participating in communion together. Communion is not a ritual. It's not just something that we can only do the first Sunday of each month. It's setting aside the time, all the time, to remember what Christ has done for us as individuals and as a community. So what activities are taking place in your neighborhood? A collection of life groups is like your neighborhood. For me, this is a representation of the church. So in this church, we have many homes because we have many different life groups. And then we all come together, and this is a part of our neighborhood. Number three is that in community, we look for good teaching. As a family person, when we look at a community, we want to know what the school is like that our daughter is going to be going to. What is the administration like? Does the teaching line up with the values that are being taught in your home? Let's face it, no one likes to have their child come home and then undo everything that they have been taught. What would it be like if your child came home and at the end of the day you had to sit down and reteach them everything that they had just learned for the past 6 hours while they were in school? What is being taught in your community group? What's being taught in your life group? Are you able to support the teaching that's going on there? We read that in this passage that the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the teaching that they were receiving from the apostles? They were teaching them everything that they had learned from being with Jesus. Jesus had taken the time to do and to teach them how they were to live. In fact, in Acts 1:1, when Luke is getting ready to write the book of Acts, he even says that he says, "I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." Jesus had shown them how they were to live. He instructed them on the most important things. In Exodus 20, we're able to read about the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses to bring down and to share with the Israelites. When the disciples questioned him on these commandments and asking what's the most important one, Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." In this statement alone, if you look at the Ten Commandments, this sums up the very first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. And then he said, the second commandment, the greatest commandment, is like it. He says, "You shall love the Lord," or "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." When you're doing that, that again sums up all the six remaining commandments that you'll find in Exodus 20. So all of the Ten Commandments can be summed up. If you're abiding by those two things alone, you will follow all of those Ten Commandments. What I mean by that is if we are doing these two things, we will not break any of those other commandments. If we're doing exactly what God is asking us to do, we won't run the risk of bearing false witness, coveting what's going on with our neighbors, adultery, stealing, lying. If we are loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, we wouldn't want to do those things to ourselves, so why would we want to be doing those things to our neighbors? In your community, what teaching are you receiving? Is there opportunity for you to grow and to develop in your walk with God? In your life group, are you growing? In your neighborhood, in the church, are you receiving teaching? My hope is that you are. That's what I've been called to do. And if ever there's an issue with that, I need to know about those things. Number four, in community, we should find a place to thrive and to be inclusive. One thing I believe for us as individuals is that we all crave community. I believe this because this is how we have been created. Next week, we're going to be looking at this a little bit more in detail, but Genesis 2:18 says, God said that it is not good that the man should be alone. So right from the very beginning, we have been created to be in relationship. With that, this is the fingerprints of God all over us. So here's my take on this. If we believe that God created us, then we also believe that we're not meant to be alone. To say that I want to be on my own goes against who God has created you to be. So here's a thought that I had this past week for the introvert. God created you to be in community. Now, it's okay to have your moments of solitude and quiet time with God. Think about this for a moment. In those moments of quiet and solitude, who do you have with you? It's not just you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's four of you. There's four of you wherever you go. So you can claim to be introverted all you want, but you are still in a community of people. In community, we grow together. We spur one another on. If you've ever traveled to another country, what happens when you meet somebody else from Canada? Hey, fellow Canadian. And it's like there's this instant bond. I watched a few weeks ago when we had a young man who just moved here from the Philippines arrive. And immediately I watched how all of the Filipinos just gathered around him. And they just were there to support him. There's that commonality and there's that bond. I watched how Kelly Johnson, when one of our international students arrived this past fall, came from Brazil. Instantly, there's that connection. They're able to communicate together. There's inclusiveness. There's commonality. We crave community. We thrive in community. Number five, in community, we enjoy good food. When looking for your new neighborhood, perhaps you look around to see what restaurants are close by. Well, where's the best pizza joint? Where's the best Chinese buffet? Where are all of these things? Are they close to my house? But what is the one thing that's often discussed whenever we plan to get together? What are we going to eat? Who's bringing what? And I can even say that because this past week I received a text message in regards to an upcoming event. And the text started off by saying this, first order of business, who is coming and what food are you bringing? Those are the key things when we come together. We want to know what food are we going to be able to eat. We connect so much better over food, don't we? We say that we don't want to look across the table at somebody as they're opening their mouth and eating their food, but we still want to eat. So, I mean, how can you talk and not, yeah, anyway. But in this passage, we see that food is a very important component. We see at the beginning, so in this passage, if you look at the beginning, they took the time to participate in the breaking of bread. So when you look at this in the original context, this is them taking the time to take communion together, remembering what God has done. Later, we read that they broke bread. This is referring to the sharing of a meal. We read that they broke bread and ate together. So in community, we have specific foods that we enjoy. You know, when the Filipinos get together, you can be guaranteed that somebody is going to bring lumpia or pancit, correct? When the Nigerians get together, somebody is going to bring puff puff or plantains. When I go to a 60-plus potluck, it's guaranteed that somebody is going to show up with mashed potatoes. When I go to Claire's house for dinner, I'm pretty much guaranteed that I'm going to get broccoli salad because she knows how much I love it. We have foods that we enjoy when we come together in community. Number six, in community, we help out those in need. There's an opportunity for benevolence. It always amazed me when I would sit with these Sikh families in the funeral home. Many of them would arrive and they literally had nothing. We would sit, we'd make the arrangements. It wasn't going to be a cheap affair because they knew the customs and rituals that had to be observed, and as a result, they had to purchase specific things. But I was always amazed when it came time for payment, how different people would pull out their credit card and say, can you put so much on this one? Can you put so much on this one? Can you put so, like the entire cost. There were some times where I'd get a call from somebody in the week. I didn't want to do it there, but can you please just put the cost of the funeral on my credit card? I just want to look after everything for them. In a healthy community, we pitch in to help those around us. In our church, in this community, in this neighborhood, I love how people rally around others in their time of need. Taking flowers to someone who's just lost a loved one. taking a cup of green tea to somebody in the hospital after they've had surgery, preparing a meal and delivering to a family when you hear about the crises going on in their lives. Julia, do you want to come at this time? When Chad is moving for the fourth time and you get that call, it's like, I hope this is the last time. Trust me, I'm saying the same thing. But people showed up. Julia wants to share, and I'll let her share.
So, like Chad said, the Care Benevolent Team has done so much for so many of us in the church. And they've done a lot for me, and I just really appreciate them. I recently had surgery, and Lena brought me flowers, and that meant a lot to me. And so on behalf of, like, even all the people you guys have helped, thank you so much for just blessing all of us and just serving, caring, bringing everything anyone needs, and just doing, just serving and that kind of thing.
That's an example of the church community partnering together. I hear about these stories quite regularly. Often people will come and say, well, what are we doing in our community? How are we helping those in need? We don't always see it being advertised, but I am able to speak with confidence that here in this community of believers, we are reaching out to the community. Just because we don't hear the stories or are not always able to partner with what's going on, that doesn't mean that it's not happening. This is where it's important for each of us to be listening to Holy Spirit. I heard a story this past week of an individual who all of a sudden they just, you know, God spoke into their heart and gave them this name. And they didn't know exactly why. But instead of brushing it aside, they didn't wait and say, oh, you know what, maybe what I'll do is I'll wait till Sunday morning till I can gather some people around me and we'll just ask God, God, is this you speaking this name into me? Should I be calling this person? Can I tell you one thing? I can guarantee you that's not the devil. The devil is not speaking that name into you. So if all of a sudden there's a name dropped into your heart, it's Holy Spirit asking you. So this person immediately reached out to this person just to see, hey, you were on my mind, just wanted to touch base. Come to discover that they are in the midst of a crisis and there's so much stuff going on, and they were able to go and sit and visit with this person, right? We don't necessarily hear about all of these stories, but this is our community. When God speaks into our heart, we respond and we reach out and do what it is that we can. That name that God whispered into your ear, what did you do with that? How did you respond? Matthew 6, verse 3 says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's not about receiving the praise for the work that we have done. It's about God being glorified for what he is doing in and through you for that person. So we don't need to all gather and pat each other on the back. Is God being glorified? That is the key component in everything. Are we looking beyond ourselves and seeking ways to bless those around us? Look at how this community operated. It said that they, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. This was not a case of forced sharing. We're not speaking about communism. What is important to realize is that sometimes fellowship will touch our pocketbooks. Sometimes God will speak to your heart and ask you to loan something or to give something away in order that you can be a blessing to another person. Whatever that is, I will let you have that conversation with God. Number 7, in community we are safe. Is your community a place where people feel safe and are diversified? Every one of us has been created uniquely. Even here in our community of believers, each of us have different views. We have different ways of speaking. We come from different cultures. We even worship differently. Some of us like to sing. Some like to raise their hands. Some like to fly flags. Some like to dance. Some like to pray out loud. Some believe they worship through giving and tithing. Some choose not to tithe. I'll leave that with you. But we have all of these things. We have opportunities here. We all come from very different backgrounds. We all have very different beliefs. But the question is in community, we want to be safe. Is CPC a safe place for people to come? Now, that doesn't mean that we alter what we teach. That doesn't mean that we change our beliefs. But we have to understand that people are going to come in. We are going to have people come into this church who are homeless, who have very colorful pasts, who have been caught stealing, who have been caught cheating, who are living a promiscuous lifestyle, who are choosing not to identify with who God has created them to be. We have those people. They are coming into our church. In fact, they are already here in our church. The thing that I will assure you of is that I will always preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people. And I will leave it up to Holy Spirit to speak into their hearts and encourage them to do the changing. If they come and ask me, we will join together and we will see what Scripture is speaking into their heart about that. Right? That's what should be a safe place. So if we have somebody come in and we're thinking, oh, that's a lifestyle that I'm not quite prepared for. You don't have to be prepared for it. God says you're to love them, right? We have to look at what's happening in our society. I don't agree with everything that's going on. Jesus didn't even agree with everything that the people were doing. Jesus didn't agree with how the Pharisees were conducting themselves. But he wasn't afraid to ask questions to get them thinking and understand what God was speaking to them. Are we devoted to the teachings of Jesus? In this community, in Acts, they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. They followed the model and teaching of Jesus. Number 8, in community, we look for a sense of belonging. What does that mean? It's okay to have things in common. You know, you may be a part of a hockey community, a quilting community, a walking community, a yoga community, a foodie community, CrossFitters, the list can go on. Your common interest is often what brings you together. The same is true in nationalities. There's a sense of being at home, that familiar, that . In this passage, we read that the believers were together and had everything in common. They could all see and hear what was happening in the church. They could sense that God was at work. God was continuing to grow this group. He added daily to their numbers, it says. Number 9, in community, there is a clean environment. As we talked about last week when it comes to discipleship, slandering is not taking place. When you get together as friends and in your community groups, are you ensuring that your conversations are pleasing to God? The atmosphere through the place should be healthy and not toxic. Often this comes back to ourselves. If we don't see health in our relationships, and every time we move into a new relationship, we recognize that it's failed again, perhaps it's time to look internally. I've sat with people, and they said, Pastor Chad, I don't know, you know, I was in this friendship, and this friendship, and this friendship, and this, and they list all the friendships. And I say, what's happened? And they failed, and I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I have to ask the tough question, what is the common denominator in all of this? Well, it's me. Maybe it's time for you to do some work on you. Stop looking at everybody else and thinking that everybody else is the problem. The only person that's following you around everywhere you go is you. So maybe God's speaking to you and saying, maybe it's time for you to make some changes. Are you the common denominator in all of the situations? It is important that we not blame external causes for our internal issues. Ask God to reveal to you the area of your life that perhaps needs some modifying, some tweaking, some changing or correcting. We attempt to change others, but forget that the change perhaps needs to start with us. Be the change that you want to see. So when the people in the Church of Acts came together, they devoted themselves to the teaching. They were always there. They supported one another. When I say that in community there's a clean environment, I mean that it is not toxic with negativity from other people. And then finally, number 10, services available for all ages. Here in our community, we welcome all age brackets, all nationalities, all races. Nobody is turned away. We believe that there is something here for you. There is a way for every single person to get involved or to get connected. We have a children's ministry. We have a youth ministry. We have an adult ministry. We have all of these things available to you. If you're looking for a way to get connected or you want to be a part of a life group, don't hesitate to come and talk with me or to talk with Claire. We will help you to find the place that will suit and be the perfect fit for you. And perhaps you're here and you're thinking, well, what is this life group? What is this thing that you're talking about? A life group is simply that. It's a group of people doing life together. Some of them meet weekly, some meet biweekly, some meet once a month. They have a common goal. They have a common interest. They come together to spend time in prayer, to support one another, to encourage. Some will do a study. A variety of things happen in these life groups. You might be a group that goes fishing together. You might be a group that goes quilting together. Whatever your life group decides to do to bring you together to continue to spur one another on. All 10 items that I've just listed is what you can find in a life group. It is a place that you can build community. So, are you currently living in community? Are you a part of a healthy home? Is your neighborhood safe? Are you getting enough to eat? Do you have that sense of belonging? Are you lacking in anything? Do you have people around you that are spurring you on? In a community, we are able to spur one another on. We are able to encourage one another. Father, we thank you that here in this place, in this community of believers, we are able to spur one another on. We are able to challenge. We are able to come alongside. We're able to eat together. We're able to break bread together. We're able to take communion together. We can pray together. Father, and that's what community is all about. And Father, if there be a person this morning that finds themselves outside of a community, I pray that they would either go after it or that you would bring somebody alongside of them that will invite them into their community so that they can have that sense of belonging. Here at CPC, there is a place for every single person. Nobody is turned away. Everybody is welcome. So God, as we go from this place and we go to our individual communities, into our homes, Father, I pray that we would look around where we're living and see how we can be influencing our neighborhood, how we can be coming alongside of somebody that's living next door, walking with them, journeying with them, having the opportunity to speak into their lives. And Father, I know that through the work that you're calling us to do, you will speak into their lives and they will see the difference in us. So Father, I thank you for how you have been speaking into the hearts of each person. And my hope and my prayer is that we would not just hold on to that and think that it's something that can only happen today. But God, every day of the week, you are with us. You are walking with us and you are guiding us. We thank you for this. I pray your blessing to be upon every single person in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.